A January for Jane, A Seasons of Serendipity Bride, Chapter 2. Chapter 2, on the first Sunday of her betrothal, Jane frowned at her reflection in the looking glass. When had her eyes become so sunken, and why was the darkish magenta beneath them refusing to dissipate, now that she only rose once a night to care for Robert? Pursing her lips, she spotted the deeper creases on her forehead and immediately slackened her face. Breathing a sigh of relief that her porcelain skin did not remain so ghastly wrinkled, she found little to cheer about in her complexion. Long gone was the carefree maiden who danced and dined with only the need for a suitor. Staring back at her was a woman of wisdom and experience, who ran a household and raised a babe not of her own making. Imagining her mother's nervous energies, fussing over her loss of bloom, Jane wondered what her mother would think if she knew her daughter had caught the eye of a duke's son. A muffled cry, on the other side of her bedroom door, forced Jane to rise from her dressing table and rush to the door. A fussy robin howled in the maid Alice's arms until Jane took him, but his cries continued at a reduced frequency. "I'm sorry, miss, he did not care for his bath. I tried to warm the water, but he did not want me, no way and no how." Alice dipped into a curtsy. "Fret not, the boy is gaining his teeth and troublesome for all." As if understanding his aunt's words, Robin pulled her free hand to his mouth to gnaw on her fingers. A razor-sharp pierce of her thumb made Jane jerk her hand away. A shocked, momentary silence from Robin was followed by a renewed howl, louder than his earlier cries. Jane dismissed the maid and carried Robin further into her room to shush his cries and attempt to placate the child. Her door remained open, and on her third trek across the room, her partner in the babe's parenting surfaced with a solution. Jane pushed Mr. Hamilton's hand away. "No, you must be mad." He ignored her fussing and smiled at Robin, whose cries had diminished at the comforting bass voice of the man he knew best. "This is a long-standing Hamilton tradition. I watched my mother soothe my younger brothers thus." Graham Hamilton dipped a finger into the glass of amber whiskey he held and offered it to the teething Robin. The boy greedily grabbed the man's thicker finger, just as he had Jane's, not caring a whit about the raisined purplish skin scarred from last summer's fire. Jane gasped to see Graham's injury, an intimacy she had rarely been afforded. "Does it?" Jane gulped as Robin cooed at the strong taste and numbing effects of the spirit that dripped from Mr. Hamilton's finger, refusing to relinquish the man's hand. "Is it painful?" Graham beamed at the boy. "Ha, your first taste and in love already. Ye be a Scotsman through and through there, laddie." Removing his hand to dip once more and give the child a second dose, he looked up at Jane once the boy's brief squabble ended at the return of his medicine. "The pain subsided months ago, but I'm afraid they shall always be misfigured." "They are not misfigured," Jane exclaimed, popping her mouth closed at her outburst. When she spoke again, her tone evened. "I think they are very fine hands, and they saved so many lives that night." Graham studied Jane's face, but knew the woman's sincerity and love for him already drove her nearly as mad as he. In fact, he had attempted to broach the subject of marital relations to no avail. Jane Bennet demanded a traditional path to marriage, even without the need for chaperone or social inducement such nonsense required. "We must leave if we are to make services in town. I ordered the carriage or I would have been here sooner, to help with the child." Jane suddenly felt bereft at the idea of leaving Robert alone at home. He could not attend services. Though he had been baptized in the small chapel abutting Starvet House 2 weeks after the Darcys left, with Jane and Graham standing as godparents, it was too soon for the questions that would surely surface. Officially listed for the Kirk as Robert Wickham, their story that Lydia had been married before George Wickham was killed in London was all the registrar required to save the child's soul. The Scottish authorities would think his parents were married in England, and the English authorities would be told they were married in Scotland. And hopefully, there would never be occasion for the truth to come to light. But Robin shall be well tended and sound asleep. Graham pulled his hands away, and Jane looked down to see the baby in her arms calm and serene, indeed ready to drowse while they attended services and began the first week of three for the banns to be read. "Then we shall go." Jane gave Graham a firm nod as she placed the child into his cradle that no longer resided in the suite between them, but in her own room. While she settled Robin, Graham availed himself of her washbasin. Watching her charge happy in his swaddling, it dawned on her that after they were married, her sleeping arrangements would change. She whirled around to face Graham. "After we marry," she began, a blush creeping uncomfortably up her neck. Jane became cross with herself for such a display of anxiety. "If ye say yes, we need not leave Robin at all. Marry me today, this very moment." He reached out and grasped her hand in his, ungloved, with the glass of whiskey behind him on her dressing table. Jane drew in a sharp breath, searching the man's dark eyes that had held nothing but the deepest affections for her since he helped hand her out from a carriage last summer. He was earnest in his declaration. The scent of lavender from his freshly washed hands, hands that now burned hers with their touch, clouded her mind. "Today, my dear Jane, we could be through with fighting the strictures of English society." He trailed off as he neared her, leaning in for a kiss, but Jane's eyes widened and she pulled back. "Please, I cannot suffer further temptation," she wet her lips and hesitated. "Say you will stand with me, Mr. Graham Hamilton, before the congregation in Haddington 3 Mondays from now, and become my husband." Graham howled at the twist of a proposal. "Do I tempt ye, lassie?" He winked as she pursed her lips at his cheekiness. Quickly, he leaned forward and pecked those rosy lips that taunted him thus. "I gave you a direct question, milord." Jane blinked in expectation. He groaned. "Now, none of this milord business. I won't have it." Feeling bold, Jane took a step and turned so that her back was to him, and he naturally pulled her into a nuzzling embrace. "Well, if you do not join me for church," she mocked him in a horrible Scottish brogue, "there'll be much more you won't have." Jane ducked, an unexpected move on her part that surprised Graham. He found himself unable to block her escape, and she rose, scampering out of his reach. Giggling at her tease, Jane Bennett spun around once more in the doorway, feeling lighter than her 23 years of age. She blew a kiss in the direction of both Robin and Graham before dashing out and down the stairs. Lord Graham Hamilton, Earl of Bolton, Baron Tweeddale, did not rush after his Jane. Instead, he very calmly retrieved his sealskin gloves from his sporran. His eyes flicked to the boy he would take as his ward just as soon as he endured the trial of convincing his aunt. Once more, the child fell asleep, and Graham was about to share a private thought with the lad when the maid Millie suddenly entered Jane's room.
"Oh, I beg your pardon, milord."
The maid curtsied and bowed her head. Realizing he was hopelessly outnumbered and that the staff doted on Jane, he could only nod and leave the room to meet the woman vexing him most at the carriage. He could have sworn the maid stifled a giggle as he exited, confirmation Miss Bennet had instructed her to change his preferred address of sir. He allowed his frustration from their impasse over when to wed to manifest in his swift jog down the steps, finding himself in a better mood by the time he reached the massive oak doors of Starvet House. But there was no Jane. Bewildered, he looked around, but Mr. Harper, the butler, advised the frequent visitor and long-term guest.
"She is waiting in the carriage, milord." Harper stood stiffly after the announcement, opening the door for the man to brave the winter chill in order to attend services in the village. Starvet House held services in the chapel for the staff, but to fulfill the demand of the kirk, to Haddington they'd go.
"Not you too, milord?" Harper asked, genuinely confused. Miss Bennet had said to address Mr. Hamilton by his proper title out of courtesy.
"Never mind. Miss Bennet and I are experiencing a difference of opinion," he said tersely through clenched teeth, as the bitter cold brushed against his stockinged legs.
"I'm terribly sorry to hear it, milord."
Before he began to yell at the butler for a taunt not of his making, Lord Hamilton stormed out of the home towards the waiting carriage. He yanked open the door, growling for the footman to leave him be, and stepped firmly up to launch himself into the conveyance. "How wonderful!" Jane's cheeks appeared most fetching with a pinkish glow as she sat wrapped in a coat of the finest fur. "I shall have a husband after all." Mr. Hamilton slammed the carriage door shut and took a seat across from his adversary, understanding now Darcy's warning that one does not woo a Bennet woman, one must win her.